Adam Schefter confirming what, if you were listening to Tyler Zulli and Joe Torti, you already knew. We're hanging out here until 10 o'clock. Commissioner Goodell sent out a memo to NFL teams tonight that the draft will go on from April 23rd to the 25th. We already knew this. There was no doubt that that was going to not be the case. Look, be good at your jobs. Get your jobs done ahead of time. There's no need to be cramming in the weeks and months leading up to the, or the weeks leading up to the draft, to get your visits in and to understand what kind of person a guy is or what kind of fit or whatever. I get that you want to get your hands on guys, as Doug put it so eloquently years ago. But everybody's playing from the same playing field. The best teams will make the best draft decisions. I agree with this decision to go on. And I think it's savvy by Roger Goodell to continue to put the NFL in the center of the public conversation with a big event like the draft. Really, really well done. And I think that that's a great plan. Okay. Also have to catch up on several good tweets from 76ers One. He said, this is about an hour ago, said they're showing old NCAA games on CBS Sports. Sweet 16 2006, UConn versus Washington. Rudy Gay versus Brandon Roy. Damn, I keep forgetting how nice Brandon Roy was. He used to cook fools. He'd cook these jokers today, too. Brandon Roy is one of the greatest, I think, sports regrets that I've seen in my life. Like, one of the guys that I wish could have maintained full power for a long time. Love Brandon Roy. Also, the Big 12 has Mahomes, Mayfield, and Kyler Murray. Might be more. Russell Wilson and Phillip Rivers, if you count Wilson's NC State time before Wisconsin.
Well, that's ACC.
Well, yeah, but Wisconsin, Big 10. So, no. Right, NC State. Wait, timeout. I think NC State was ACC the whole time. They have not been
They've never been anything else,
right?
No.
Okay.
The two that went from the Big 12 to the SEC were Missouri and Texas A&M.
Right, okay. There you go. So, there you go. But Mahomes, Mayfield, and Kyler Murray from the Big 12 conference. ACC's got some good ones as well. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't go to the SEC for quarterbacks generally. Not saying that there have never been any good SEC quarterbacks, but if I'm setting up rules for myself and I can only draft from certain conferences, SEC is not my quarterback one. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic, as we're given the news that the NFL draft will continue as scheduled 4 weeks from tonight. Round one is in prime time. Here is the full memo. This is addressed to chief executives, club presidents, general managers, and head coaches from Commissioner Goodell, dated today. As you know, we have been reviewing and addressing all aspects of our off-season operations, including the draft, in light of current public health conditions. Earlier today, the EC discussed the issues related to the draft. Oh, that's the competition committee. The competition committee was unanimous and unequivocal that the draft should go forward as scheduled on April 23rd through 25th, 2020. Apart from the CEC, I have personally discussed this matter with many other owners, club executives, and coaches, and there's widespread support for the CEC's conclusion. Everyone recognizes that public health conditions are highly uncertain, and there's no assurance that we can select a different date and be confident that conditions will be significantly more favorable than they are today. This is, of course, true. I also believe that the draft can serve a very positive purpose for our clubs, our fans, and the country at large, and many of you have agreed. Because of the unique circumstances in our country today, the 2020 draft will obviously need to be conducted in a different way. Already, we have canceled all public events. We will not be bringing prospects and their families to the draft, and the draft itself will be conducted and televised in a way that reflects current conditions. Our staff is certainly mindful of the operational issues this presents, and our top priority is putting in place procedures that allow all clubs to operate on a level playing field so that the draft is conducted in a way that is competitively fair to all clubs. All clubs should now be doing the necessary planning to conduct draft operations at a location outside of your facility with limited number of people present and with sufficient technology resources to allow you to communicate internally with other clubs and with draft headquarters. Needless to say, we will be prepared to adjust to change circumstances in the next several weeks, including the prospect of clubs being able to resume even limited operations within their facilities. Any club with special questions or concerns should be in touch with our football operations, information technology, and management council staffs to discuss these issues. We are confident that if we work collaboratively, we can implement procedures that will make the draft an event that works competitively and for our fans. Clubs have already reached out to us to discuss particular issues, and we encourage clubs with questions or concerns to continue to raise them with me, members of the CEC, or our staff. The CEC was also clear, and I share the committee's view, that the public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. We look forward to working with each of you to make the 2020 draft an event that will make everyone proud and help build excitement for the coming season. The money line and the hammer came in the second to last paragraph. It says, the CEC was also clear, and I share the committee's view that public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. That means this is happening. And if you bitch, you're going to be in trouble. If you're talking about not being allowed to meet with prospects or not being allowed to check people out or interview or whatever in person, and you're complaining about that to the media, you're going to be disciplined. They rule with an iron fist, man, this NFL.
Unbelievable.
And they're all going to be in line, too, I guarantee it. Guarantee everybody's in line.
Well, of course they are. This is the NFL is, in all intents and purposes, the ruler. They don't have any kind of secondary leadership. The NFL rules over its property, and that is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I'm what I would love to see, now that it's like going to be phones and Skype and send in your pick via AOL Messenger, I can't wait for Jerry Jones to be on the clock. Because I would have loved for this to have happened in 2011, when literally Stephen Jones had to pull Jerry Jones away from the podium to not draft Johnny Manziel. This was perfect time for the Cowboys to mess their pick up royally.
Well, when they send it in via carrier pigeon or whatever they're going to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, whether it's, you know, carrier pigeon or you've got mail.
You've got mail. Oh, man.
Dallas Cowboys X6XOXO.
It's perfect.
Not happy. If you know, you know. Don't message or tweet.
Oh, man.
I'll be in my room listening to My Chemical Romance.
That's what the profile says.
That's the Cowboys Twitter profile page.
Perfect. I love it. Oh, by the way, I meant to share this earlier because we were discussing the secondary. And a secondary player has reemerged. This happens, like, it seems like once a year. People just look at the legal tampering period and they're just like, oh, like, these are all deals that happen. But there's at least one every year that doesn't. In this case, Darquez Dennard will not be signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars after all. I guess the original deal was 3 years and $13.5 million for Dennard, and they couldn't come to terms finally on that contract. So Dennard goes back into the free agent pool. Former first-round pick. If you're the Eagles, are you kicking tires there?
No. And I have to put the rule down at some point, because as I've mentioned to you before, I've got some kind of weird soft spot for Michigan State.
Yes.
Don't know why. But whether it be him or Shalik Calhoun, or coming up in this draft, which I think the Eagles should take, but please don't take Joe Bocci, I've got this weird affinity for Michigan State players.
You love Michigan State, man.
Don't tell
Penn State. Don't tell the Nittany Lions.
I can't say that I love Michigan State, but I can say that I do particularly love Michigan State players. Like, individual players.
All right.
I was all in on... who was the running back a few years ago?
Le'Veon Bell.
No. After Le'Veon Bell. No. Not quite that point. After Le'Veon Bell. Was it Jeremy Langford?
Yeah, he was a running back for Michigan State.
That was my dude. And he wasn't any good.
But you loved him.
But I liked him.
That's all right. I won't tell anybody about your Connor Cook jersey, you know?
It's hanging in my closet.
The fact that you're collecting Nick Foles jerseys from every school, which he graced the halls.
There was actually a point where the Raiders were lucky enough, I believe, to have Connor Cook, Matt McGloin, and Terrell Pryor on the same roster, or
Big
close
Ten
to it.
City, baby. Man. So Le'Veon Bell was listed as the fifth best running back in Michigan State history. There are some good players on here, man. Like Lorenzo White being number one. Just a beast. Absolute beast. Okay. Also, in the interest of, we were talking about college basketball. Tyler, do we have this ready? Do we have our friend Jay Wright ready to go? Jay Wright joined the Mike Misnelli show, and I'm jonesing for some college basketball, obviously. Not going to get it, unfortunately, but this is going to be the next best thing. Here's Jay Wright joining Mikey Miss earlier this afternoon.
Our next guest also is. Not only is a coach of an NCAA basketball team, the Villanova Wildcats, but also as a Philly sports fan, because he is a major Philly sports fan. Let's check in on what Jay Wright, the great Villanova men's basketball coach, is doing. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Mikey Miss, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I mean, this is the time, the NCAA tournament, the whole bit, Philly's opening day. I know you're a big Phil's fan. How are you making out here?
It's crazy, man. But I mean, I'm good. I mean, you think about what's going on in our world. You know, our life is yours more than anybody's. Sports, ours is just basketball, but. You know, you think about all the people that are affected across the country, and these health workers that are going out there every day. I mean, those guys and ladies, they're the ones that have some serious challenges. You know, we're stuck at home and not playing basketball games, which, you know, we're a little nuts. That affects us, but it's nothing compared to what's going on in our world, you know, and what these healthcare workers are battling out there every day, you know?
Yes, that's well said. And, we've had time now, and you have had time, your kids have had time to kind of digest this. But when it first came down, I mean, it had to hit like a ton of bricks for you guys, because you were, let's face it, this looked like it was going to be another big run in the NCAA tournament. So, like, take me from that moment to now with you and your kids.
Yeah, it was crazy, Mike. Hey, you know, we were really playing good basketball. You know, I don't know. I think we won 8 out of 9 or something coming down the stretch. That doesn't matter. But we felt like we were playing really well. Our young guys, our freshmen, Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Justin Moore, we felt like they were really starting to get it. You know, Colin Gillespie had been dealing with nagging injuries the whole second half of the season. He was getting healthy. Jermaine Samuels had a foot injury that was bothering him. He was playing through. He was healthy. You know, you can talk about it now because we don't have anything else to talk about. But like we were feeling really good, and we were in New York City, and the Thursday we were going to play DePaul Thursday night. Mm-hmm. DePaul wins on Wednesday night, which was, you know, beats Xavier, which was a shock, you know. And we do our walkthrough in the morning. We stay right on Central Park South there, so. We walk one block down to the New York Athletic Club. We do our walkthrough. We come back. We're all fired up. We're having our lunch. We're watching the start of the Creighton St. John's game. And now it's like you're just so dialed in into your little world. Like nothing else matters. Nothing else is going on. And then bang, you know, as we're sitting there, they say it's canceled. The NCAA tournament, I mean, the Big East tournament's canceled. And, you know, as coaches, we have everything planned to the minute. We have everything planned for these guys. It's one of the first times you say to them, hey, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't have a plan here. Like, I don't know if we're staying here tonight. I don't know if we're going home. I don't know what we're doing. So we said, you know, just go back up to your rooms and we'll figure this out and we'll get back to you. So we wound up coming back right away Thursday, and we got back to Villanova like about 4 o'clock. And when we got back, there was a lot of media there, and they had set up like a barricade for the media, you know, so they couldn't come close to us. And I don't know, there was like 10, 15 media people there. And I sent the guys into the locker room and started talking to them. As I was talking to them, somebody handed me a phone. Somebody in the media handed me a phone and said, the NCAA tournament's canceled. I was like, wow. Well, I said, you know what? I got to go back in and talk to our team. I got to tell our team, you know? So I went back in and talked to our guys, and they're just in shock. It's like everybody, every time we get hit with something now, it's not something that we considered, you know? And it's just been a really strange time in all of our lives. And, you know, like I keep saying to you, Mike, like, this is what we do. It keeps us kind of entertained talking about sports, but I think we all realize what a small part of the world and our lives really sports is when you're worrying about people's health. But you also learn, one of the things I have learned is it is an incredible distraction for all of us, you know, and it does have a place in this world, because when you don't have it, you know, you can tell, like a lot of those health workers and people that go out there, they like coming home and listening to you on the way home, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been listening, because I was listening to you in a car. I have been in the car, you know. I'm just home. But it does provide, you know, if you're one of those people going in there working at a hospital all day, you definitely don't want to get in your car and start thinking about that.
Yeah.
You want to think about, you want to hear you know, talk about the Sixers and the Phillies. So I kind of learned a lot from different perspectives during this.
Yeah, and of course, we're all quarantined, and we get out for 4 hours a day. We do the show. It's still coming to the studio. But, you know, you're quarantined. You're at home. And it's funny, the juxtaposition for you, because at one point you're downsizing, and now all of a sudden you're upsizing because you got a lot of people in the house. What's going on with that? How did this whole thing evolve for you as far as the house goes and the family all together now?
It's funny, Mike, because my wife runs everything. She runs the business. She runs everything. So she made the decision we were downsizing. And because she has to take care of it, it's a big house. You know, we have three kids in here. And now we got all three kids home. We got two girlfriends, two dogs, a cat. This place is rocking, man. And it's kind of fun, you know. But I joke with her. I'm like, you know, good thing, man. It's a good thing we didn't do this yet, because we'd be in a little place packed in here. But, you know, everyone's still working from home, doing their work from different rooms. It's kind of enjoyable, to be honest. I hate to say it, knowing what's going on out there, and hopefully no one here gets sick. But I mean, we really have stayed here. We really have. We just locked in here you know, we play all of our games and do our thing and compete at everything, which is sanity in this family.
Well, I was reading in today's paper, you had a family tennis tournament. Who won that thing today?
It's going on right now.
Oh, it's still going on. Okay.
My wife took me first and kicked my ass.
Your wife beat you?
Oh, she's a beat. No, man. In this family, I'm a schlep, man. They kick me. You know, you play the intelligent games, you know, at night. They're all brilliant. They kill me. Then the sports, I'm getting to be the old fart, and they're all good. And the women are good tennis players, and they kick. It's humbling, man.
That's all right. You need
staying home, getting my butt.
Yeah, you can be humbled. Let's talk some basketball here, because I want to touch base on this. Like, you've already, like, some outlets have already pronounced you as the number one team in the nation next year. And when you look at your roster and you lose one senior who really didn't play, and you have all these guys back, and you have a great recruiting class coming in, you had a couple red shirts. How does that affect you?
I mean, gave me something to think about for a day. Like, that thing popped up. I saw two of them had us number one. One of them had us like number eight or something. You know what? It's so funny, Mike. We're working on the two most important things for us right now are Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Sadiq Bey. You know, we'll go through this pre-draft process. You know, we put their names in for the early entry evaluation. We have not heard back yet, but they will go through that. So, you know, these are two young guys that their careers are, you know, kind of in the balance right now.
So they have to decide themselves whether they're going to make this leap, right?
Right.
So let me ask you, as far as the season being cut short, does that influence it at all? Because both of them would have had not only the Big East tournament, but the NCAA tournament to really kind of show more of their wares. Does that enter into it?
It probably will, Mike, in that both of them, and this is what I was talking about earlier, like Sadiq Bey was, you know, just he's only a sophomore, you know, he's a young kid. He was just getting better and better. He was just playing great basketball. And he, you know, I think he was primed to have a great NCAA tournament. And Jeremiah Robinson Earl was a big guy who was, like, developing as a shooter, developing as a decision maker. You know, I actually gave him yesterday. I gave him like his last eight games. He was shooting over 50% from the field, over 40% from three. He had a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. He's like almost averaging a double double. Like he was really starting to come on. So you know you got to think in the NCAA tournament, he really could have you know made a name for himself, and then that gets cut short now because of you know the Olympics being canceled. I did have a chance to talk with Sean Ford from USA Basketball and Greg Popovich, not about the NBA, but about our USA thing. And you know, the NBA's up in the air still about what they're going to do. Nothing's decided, but there's a possibility outside, you know, they could go through the draft process without even having these guys come and work out and just have to make their decisions based on what they saw this year. It's possible, you know, because we just don't know when we're going to allow to bring groups of people together. So these two are really up in the air in terms of, you know, do I work out right now and get ready, you know, or do I rest because I'm going to be going all summer? So
do you give them a feel on what you think they should do, or do you just completely detach?
We always give them a feel, and mostly we give them information and give them scenarios. Like, you know, what do you want to do? You know, like how do you want to go into the NBA? You know, do you want to, how much do you like school? You know, do you want to get out of school and be in the NBA, or would you be good coming back to school? Like, you know, like Dante DiVincenzo, last or a couple of years ago, really, you know, he was cool coming back. He's like, I love it. You know, I'm good. I'll go back. And, but he just had a great, you know, pre-draft workout and he was in the 16th pick or whatever. So he really didn't have a choice, but every guy is different and you just try to give them scenarios and then let them make the decision.
Yeah, I got you. Last question. And you know, I gotta ask you this question. As far as the NBA goes, are you interested at all, or are you ruling that out completely?
You know, I know you're going to be sick of hearing my answer.
Here's your answer. Your answer is Villanova is a wonderful place. It's the best job in the world, right? That's your answer. I get it.
And I love it.
And I know that.
But you know, you're just stupid to say, you know, I don't want you 5 years from now, it's like, you told me you'd never go to the NBA. Why'd you say it?
Yeah.
I just love where I am. I don't want to give it up. And you know, last summer I got a chance to coach those guys. I love coaching those. It's awesome coaching those guys. You just can't have two jobs, you know? So I just like my job, but I don't want to leave it.
You know, you would be the perfect NBA coach because you do have that NBA experience, but you also have the gift of conversation. Like, you can reach people that you know, this, the NBA player is difficult to reach, but you would figure out the perfect way to do it. You'd be a perfect compromise coach. You'd be able to instruct them and not make them think like they're getting instructed.
That's very kind, and I do listen to you, and you do have a good perspective on it. It's not, you know, again, I got to coach those guys last summer. I got to see Popovich do it. I got to see Steve Kerr do it, Louis Pierce. It is definitely conversational. Like, those guys have an opinion. Now, they're also very smart in that They know who the coach is. They know who the player is. But they have their ideas, and they know how to do what they want to do. It is definitely conversational.
Here's the example I use, Jimmy Butler. You would find a way to blow sunshine up his nostril to the point where he'd go through a wall for you. I'm being serious about this now. You would have the exact way to reach Jimmy Butler because you figure stuff like that out.
At that level, it's definitely figuring those guys mm-hmm. out. Now, and understanding that they all do have incredible levels of competitiveness. Now, sometimes that competitiveness can get in their way because ego gets involved. But they are so incredibly competitive. I marveled at that last summer with these guys.
Jay, you know where I'm going with this, right? You know where I'm going. Would the geographical connection influence you at all if you went to the NBA?
No, man. No. It's not that. You know what, Michael? Honestly, I don't have to do that in college, though. I don't have to be conversational in college.
No, you have the hammer.
You have young guys that are looking at you like, "Yo, tell me." Like, I don't really get it yet. Tell me what I got to do. Like, that's really fun.
I get that, but what not make you fun is going on the road to recruit, being in high school gyms and all that stuff. All right, go ahead. Quick.
I'll give you a great story. Last summer, we were in one of our games in the World Cup, and I mistakenly, it's my scout, and we're playing Turkey, and I mistakenly get on one of the players about a scouting assignment and in a college way. Mm-hmm. And he comes back at me, and Steve Kurgis turns to me and goes, "Welcome to the NBA."
Yeah, I get it, but again, so you learn.
Don't talk to those guys.
You learn from that one example. See, I get it. College, you're used to having a hammer. I totally get it, man. They're coming. I know you're a competitive guy. It burns at you. All right, last thing I'm going to leave you with because I got this note and I didn't know this about your background. You were the starting quarterback for the Southampton Knights 80-pound champion football team. Is that true?
I think we beat Bristol that year too, man. I think we beat up on Bristol Borough.
You probably had better equipment.
Yeah, Bristol Borough. We did.
Yes, you did.
We definitely did. Those were crappy, man. They didn't have the same color jerseys or anything.
Who would have thought you could have been a quarterback somewhere? All right, listen, man. It was great talking to you. Stay inside and have fun with the family. Tell Patty I said hello.
I definitely will, buddy. Take care. Thanks for doing your thing, man. It's helping now.
All right, Jay. Thank you.
Good, buddy.
There's Jay Wright.
All right, there he is. Jay Wright joining Mike Missanelli. Always great to hear from Jay Wright. We've run over, so we'll take a breather. And when we return, we'll react to what we heard and, of course, continue onward until 10 o'clock. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I saw a tweet from someone that I know in the industry. I thought it was fascinating. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli hanging out as well. We're taking you up until 10 o'clock. This person tweeted, and I don't want to call him out, and you'll see why in a second. The tweet was, "Can't wait till we emerge from this coronavirus quarantine in like 4 months, and we're all just way chubbier since we've been sitting at home and snacking." Okay? I'm curious about this, whether this is reality or not. Because I have found that without sports and without other things, like my nutrition and workouts and stuff like that have gotten to be much more disciplined and easier to keep track of and stuff like that. Now, I'm in a different position in that I have my full gym set up in my basement. So, like, my workout travel, Like, the fact that I can't go to a gym has made zero impact on what I've done. But I wonder if it's more true what my buddy's saying, that, you know, people are just sitting there watching Netflix and just pounding the peanut butter popcorn, or if there's, like, this at-home fitness craze that's starting to take over now. So I'm not sure if this is poll-worthy, but it is asking Tyler Zuli-worthy. What do you think is more likely going on across the country right now?
I think probably what was more likely the first week was the binge watch, eat the popcorn, drink the beer. Because I found myself, a lot of times I would, you know, whether I was here or not, I'd get home and, you know what, let's have a beer.
Sure, of
course.
Let's
have a, you know, have a drink.
You don't have to be on for the rest of the day.
Right. I don't have to worry about, am I plugged into the late night game? Is something crazy going to happen? You know, will the Sixers make a trade? Whatever, whatever. That lasted about 6 days. And I'm like, I got to get myself back on track. So the last 2 weeks, I have found that I have been pretty consistent with my gym. I much like you, have the home set up, so it's easier. I get that, but I have been able to make time. And not only make time, but make more time.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a little bit more.
Sure.
You know, because you're not trying to cram 90 minutes worth of working out into 45 minutes.
Knowing that there's a game or something coming up. Right.
You now have 90 minutes.
Yes, I agree.
I think that for the most part, you're going to see a lot of people emerge from this in decent shape. I really do.
Like reasonably good.
Because
here's the thing. I am curious to see, and by the way, obviously, I am far from like the peak of physical condition. But what I hear from people who do, like, I like to work out, though. I like to go to the gym. Like, that's one of the things in my day. That's a milestone in my day. For people who don't, oftentimes I hear that, like, it's just too difficult to meal prep, or it takes too much time to go to the gym and stuff like that. Now you have a lot of time, even if you can't go to the gym. So I'm curious to see what kind of impact that makes. More to the point, there's like a circuitous connect the dots thing happening here, right? There are no sports on ESPN, so they've turned ESPN into the Ocho. So I start watching the movie that made ESPN the Ocho, like, famous. And then at the end, White Goodman in Dodgeball is just like this massive whale at the end of the movie. And like, he has like mustard in all of his rolls and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have that emerge from the other side of Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and just have cheese doodle dust all over myself.
You can still watch at whatever you want.
Of course.
I mean, you and I are effectively starting the same show at the same time.
Right. Yes.
But I don't think that either of us will bypass, you know, even 45 minutes to get off the couch and go do something, go work out some way. I don't think it's going to be like this. I don't mean to be rude, but I guess this is the best way to put it, like a fat fest.
We're not going to be rolling out like
No, this isn't going to be Wally. Yeah, this isn't going to be Wally. We're going to be, I think for the,
you know what I was going to say?
Because you and I think very much alike.
So creepy, dude. So creepy. Cannot believe that was what you came up with.
You and I think very similarly. But I think for the most part, you're going to get people in, if not better shape, the same shape.
The same shape.
Yeah.
Yes. And Dennis from Ben Salem brings up a fantastic point. I don't know about homework. I assume this means homework out. But I can assure you, based on approximately 9 hours of driving around every day, there are a lot more people outside walking around than normal. And that is for sure.
So I will tell you this, as you probably saw from my tweet the other day. I have taken up, in my drive to the station, dog counting. Because I love dogs.
Of course.
And seeing dogs on the road or on the sidewalk make me happy. I hit like 6 or 7 on my ride to work.
Wow.
There are a lot of people out. I was out earlier today with my fiance walking the dog. It was nothing but other people walking the dog.
It's pretty awesome.
It's what people are doing now.
People get outside. You got to do it. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Yeah, I think that that's a possibility. And obviously, we're all doing different things to cope. Obviously, individuals and businesses, and if you're a small business owner right now, I really, really do feel for you because you are definitely getting hit the hardest. So if you want to help yourself to the extra helping of cheese doodles, there's no one here judging you. It was just a simple, I'm curious to see how we end up on the other side.
Although our guy Chris said he's eating leftovers again, so.
Yeah, meatloaf and ketchup. I'm feeling for Chris. Speaking of which, I mean, I guess that's as great a time as any to remind you that we're trying to do what we can here at 97.5 The Fanatic to help out our local businesses. Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now they can use our help. Introducing 97.5 The Fanatic's Operations Shop Local. Our initiative is set up to encourage gift card purchases from your local business and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners, go to 975thefanatic.com, list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we're all in this together, from the Beasley Media Group and 975 The Fanatic. All right, plenty more program to go. Obviously, we're rolling on until 10 o'clock. The NBA made a decision that I wanted to ask you guys about and see what the thoughts were in terms of cost-saving measures. All of that and more coming up. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli is here as well. And this was a decision that was announced earlier by the NBA, and I thought it was interesting in that it was directly related to something that happened here in Philadelphia. We remember earlier this week that the 76ers and, by extension, the New Jersey Devils, the Josh Harris, Harris Blitzer group, announced temporary salary reductions of up to 20% starting April 15th and going through the end of June. Initially, it applied to employees making more than $50,000. The team changed it to $100,000 on Tuesday morning. And then I think it was later that same day that they just decided that that was not going to happen because they faced a strong backlash on Twitter about reducing employee salaries for that length of time from April 15th through June. And so, feeling and listening to the fans and people who had strong opinions on this, in what you would say a good moment of self-awareness was, the Sixers walked it back and said, you know, that's not going to happen. That's we'll evaluate whenever we evaluate. And, you know, who knows what that actually means. The NBA announced today that the 100 top executives, or about 100 of the top earning executives around the world, will have their base salaries reduced by 20%. Many of the executives, this is coming from Adrian Wojnarowski, many of the executives and officials who are impacted work in the league's New York headquarters, including Commissioner Adam Silver and Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum. These reductions will be implemented immediately and are expected to continue through the course of the coronavirus crisis. So there are no widespread cuts to the rest of the organization. No support or administrative staff are affected. The NBA has been on hiatus, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So I put out a tweet earlier that I would say got some pushback. And Tyler said he anticipated more. I'm surprised that we didn't get more pushback.
Yeah, I thought you'd get a lot more.
But I said it earlier that if we're going to have a problem with people getting their money messed with, you know, like the Sixers and their executives and or their workers and stuff, anybody making more than $50,000 a year from the Sixers, 20% reduction, that's not cool. I'm confused as to why the NBA is being applauded for this. And here's let me lay out reasons why, because I differed from people in what I would say the Torti camp on this, you know, huddling with people and running it by people. The general consensus that I anticipate that people will say is that executives can afford a 20% reduction in their salary versus a standard worker, like just someone making $50,000 a year or more than $100,000 a year in the case of the first change. They can afford it. And that initial reaction had me like scratch my head a little bit. Because I said, well, maybe, but someone who is living, you know, on a $100,000 a year salary versus a $450,000 a year salary, let's say, or I'm sure that Adam Silver and company make, you know, $10 million or something like that. But I don't know what number 98, 99, number 70, however far you want to go down in the NBA executives. I don't know if they're the multimillionaire contracts. I know that's not typically the case in most industries. You're living a different lifestyle. So 20% hits you the same way, I would argue. It's still a fifth of your income. You still feel it. Now, you can say that, hey, you know, you're not going to buy a Maserati or something like that, and you might have to settle for a Jaguar. And I'm not sitting here crying crocodile tears for people that are making way, way more money than me. My problem is a philosophical one, which is, you know, I don't like the fact that you're messing with people's money, period. I don't think that it's a good thing. I would continue to say that there's a reason that what Kevin Love did and Joel Embiid and everybody else, all of these, Blake Griffin, everybody who's pledging money to help support these workers and the hourly people and all that other kind of stuff, the reason that it's so cool is because they're choosing to do it. Because they decided out of the goodness of their hearts to be charitable. I think that that's awesome. I don't know if it's as good. I think it's like two different things if you're looking at a salary reduction in order to keep a business afloat. That's either a good thing or a bad thing, regardless of how much money someone's making. Because from a very practical perspective, you look at a small business owner, if he were to do this to people who he employs versus the NBA as a mega corporation, look at it logically, right? If a small business owner reduces salary pay by 20%, the alternative is you're all fired because I can't afford to pay you. So I would argue that it's actually trying to keep people working and trying to do something. When you're the person who has all of the risk, has all of the financial risk, has all of the financial commitment and things like that. At the NBA, right, if it's Adam Silver saying, hey, I'm going to take 20% less, then that's a voluntary thing and that's great, especially if that means it's keeping more people working. And if it turns out that the top 100 executives in the NBA all sign this paper that say we want to do this, then I think that that's also great. But just generally speaking, I'm all about choice and I'm all about not messing with people's money when they don't have any recourse or anything to say about it, anything to do with it. And the amount that they're making, whether they're an executive or a worker, it's truly irrelevant to me. It's more of a principle matter. Now, I don't know if that is a silly way to look at it or not. Some people certainly do feel that way. But I don't know about what you can quote-unquote afford. I don't know if that holds up for me. Because I don't know if someone is, you know, maybe an executive's living a lifestyle such that they were making $50,000 a year and they're really smart and they still have their first car from when they were 25 years ago and they don't buy clothes and they don't buy all this other kind of stuff. Maybe that's the case. But maybe they are living like a more upscale lifestyle. And you would argue that they can't afford a 20% reduction in their stuff. More to the point, it sets a dangerous precedent as far as I'm concerned, because now companies across the board can just say, hey, you know what, we got to stay open. Everybody's getting paid too much anyway. You just get a reduction in pay. People were applauding the NBA for this. In the same way that I was applauding the players for putting up their own money and some of the owners for putting up their money to pay for these guys. I don't know why we should be excited about a 20% reduction in pay just because it's executives. Because the final point, and this is probably the one that people don't want to hear, it's literally punishing people who have worked their way up the ladder and made it to the top and made it. You're punishing excellence in your profession. I'm not going to say that there are no brothers or nephews or anybody who have become NBA executives. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, you work your way up. Like, think about Howie Roseman. You would say that Howie Roseman is almost certainly one of the top 100 compensated executives in the NFL. Worked his way up from an intern with no football experience in college or the pro level. Is just like, ah, Howie Roseman's a blue blood anyway. It doesn't matter. I don't know. I just think that something like that, you work your way up the ladder to get cut back down by a fifth, kind of sucks. What do you think?
So I am halfway in agreement with you.
Okay.
Because in the beginning of your conversation, this is where I agree. We live in a capitalist country where you make your money based on what you're compensated. There's no shared revenue for the most part. There's none of, you know, you make your money based on your compensation. No one should be able to tell you what to do with your compensation and your money. I get that. The point that I stop agreeing with you is you have to assume that when you talked about the shop owner who's either going to cut the pay or fire everybody. Shop owner and worker percentage difference, the wage gap, is not nearly as much as guy that works at Arena, assistant general manager.
Sure. How about shop owner versus manager of store? Because that's the more apt comparison here, right?
Shop owner versus manager of store, the gap is not that much. You would think.
So that's kind of what I'm saying here. That's what I would say is closer to the comparison. You know, because the top 100 executives, I would assume that those are store manager type people at least. I'm not saying that everybody's Adam Silver making $10 million a year.
Right. No, so what I'm saying is the comparison that I think people have an issue with is going after the people that are making $50,000 a year. Because in my estimation, yes, you're correct that you should not be able to tell people that, hey, by the way, that this is just happening, right? In my estimation, that was probably pretty fair no matter what pay scale. But when you go after the people that are making $50,000 a year, $10,000 difference for people making $50,000 a year, I think financially hurts way more than for the executive vice president to lose that 20. I understand the percentage is the same, but somebody living on $10,000 or $50,000 a year, I don't know if they can sustain going to $40,000. That's all I'm getting at.
Okay. If you lose 20% and you're making $450,000 a year, that is $90,000 a year that you're getting reduced.
I understand it's a significant, it's still a significant dip. But unless you are living $450,000 a year lifestyle, you likely can sustain. Even if you're living $250,000 a year lifestyle,
sure,
you're still sustaining.
I gotcha.
Losing $95,000. If you're living $50,000, if you're making $50,000 a year, even at $30,000 a year lifestyle, losing $10,000 is costing you savings money, your kids' college fund, your new car that you were eyeing up to buy because you've been driving that 25-year-old car. It's the difference of losing certain luxury versus losing necessity and lifestyle. That's where people have the issue.
So what about the Sixers' decision? And I know that we've got to hit a break. Maybe that was the wrong call. Even if you're not going to philosophically go with 20%, it's 20%. They said instead it's $100,000. You're telling me that people who make it $100,000 shouldn't be able to survive on $80,000? Is that, like, what's the cutoff, I guess, is
the
question.
Well, and that's fair. I think it's where the number that jumped out, it's the number that jumped out to people, because there are many, many, many people who live at $50,000
or
less than $50,000,
right,
in Philadelphia.
Definitely.
A lot of people live at that number or less.
Sure.
They understand that if they got 20% of their salary cut off, could they survive? The answer might not be yes.
True.
Could they pay rent? Could they pay for, you know, medicine? Could they pay for food? You get to that number or less, you start to, you know, weigh options. These guys are weighing options between Venice or next summer Venice.
610-632-0975. We're going to continue to explore this because I find this conversation fascinating. It is the Joe Torti Show. I don't know if there are right answers, but we're going to try to find them right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.